Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you're joining us from on this great day of the opening of the Microsoft Business Application Summit. Hopefully you've enjoyed the keynote that happened this morning and are beginning to step into some of your sessions. We are happy to bring you this Learn Live session on creating a unified customer profile in Dynamics 365 Customer Insights. Hopefully you're aware of Customer Insights. If not, we will definitely make you aware of that during this session. And if you are aware, maybe you'll get a quick overview of how you can use Customer Insights and get started with it. My name is John Wiese. I'm a technical architect with Microsoft. And with me today, I have Tad Thompson.
Welcome. Thanks, John. Yep. I'm also a technical architect. I'm based in Minneapolis. And how's the weather over there in Milwaukee, John?
A little cloudy today, although it's been in the upper 80s the last couple of days, which has been really nice here.
Nice. Spring is finally coming.
Yeah, exactly. So I see you're joining us from your lovely house there. I'm in our office in Milwaukee. And let's go ahead and jump in here to get started. You can follow along at the link that you see on the screen. So if you are interested in following along, you can go there or keep that link handy. We'll give it to you again later on so that you can follow along or go back and walk through the steps on your own afterward. So as I mentioned, this is a Learn Live session, and we are going to be following content that is part of the Microsoft Learn curriculum. You can find this out at the link on the page or on the screen here, and it will take you to a page that looks like what you're seeing on the screen. In particular, we're going to be walking through the content and then demoing the lab or the exercise that's a part of this particular Learn Live session. We have three key objectives: learning how to create a customer insights instance, then ingesting the data, how you ingest data into it, and then how we go through unification. And we'll highlight a few of the other areas as we go through the talk here today, but we will primarily focus on those three areas of ingesting data and standing up unifying profiles. We invite you to be very interactive. Tad and I will try and be as interactive as we can here during the hour that we're together. Say hi in the chat, ask questions in chat. I know Tad and I have done these before, and we like having some interaction, don't we, Tad?
Yep, it's always great to hear from folks.
Good, so keep those coming. We have people behind the scenes who will be giving us those questions and prompting us with questions that you're putting through so that we can answer those for you. Let's go ahead and jump in with our introduction. I'm going to turn it over to Tad, and he's going to introduce you to Customer Insights and a quick overview of the product.
All right, great. Want to move along one slide there?
There you go.
Okay, so Customer Insights, it's been around for a couple of years now. John's been in the beginning. I've come from the more reporting side in Power BI and SQL, and we're excited to give you a pretty good look here at Customer Insights. You've probably saw some of it as well in the keynote this morning. So what Customer Insights gives us is this full degree, 360 degree view of our customers. Now, you might have customer data in many disparate locations. Might be in an ERP system. It might be in flat files. Might be in your Dynamics 365 data. And we want to be able to visualize and get an idea of what the customer is interested in, what their some insights into their brand affinity perhaps, and also see their activities. Now, if you come from, say, a Dynamics 365 CRM background, you're familiar with activities there, where it's emails and phone calls. Well, this is partly that, but it's also all those other interactions. Have they been to a store? Have they made a purchase? Did they call for support? So lots of great information. You can see in the screenshot, there's a lot of great visualizations that are out of the box with Customer Insights. We need to ingest our data, but that capability is all there. And we produce what we call a customer card. And so it has a lot of highlighted information. It has their activity timeline, and then many other bits of information that we might create, including measures. Measures are similar to what you might see in other applications, where it's a calculation of sorts. It might be business. It might be specific to a customer. And we can get a really high level, quick view of some key information. So one of the first things we'll do is create a trial. And we've made this pretty straightforward. Of course, there's different ways you can do it. You might create a Dynamics trial. You might create from from maybe if you're a partner, you might create it from the customer experience site. What I'll show you here is creating right from scratch from the beginning. And all it is aka.ms/try-ci. So pretty straightforward to get there. And it will ask you for a login, an email address. And I have one here. If you haven't created one, it will prompt you to create an account. And so this is saying you're already a customer. Great. I'm going to sign in and I'll use my password. There we go. And while this is logging in, I will show you that I have a completed one as well. So we'll do a little in both. John and I are going to be doing different demos on our match, map, and merge process. And so we'll go through the data ingestion, and then we'll jump to our pre-built one, and we'll carry on from there. So in the real world, you will have a bit more steps to go through as far as completing all of your data ingestion. But we'll just do some simple examples. So now we're almost there into a demo environment, and as well as one that we'll create right now. I'm going to create an MBAS, just like the event that we're in. I'm going to use a trial. And this will last like all our trials do for a certain period of time, and then you can potentially get a license key or possibly create a new trial. Now there are some industry examples here, and this is great because it shows a lot of key metrics and realistic data for those different industries. So let's say you are in retail. So you might choose the retail example and then your region, and we'll go ahead and create it. Now, later on, if you decide, I really more of a manufacturing scenario, so you can change that. And I'll show you how to do that in just a moment. Okay. So what's nice about the demo is that we're able to see a bunch of information right away. And hopefully I don't have to go through all of this. Okay. I'm going to jump over to the other environment I've got going here just to show you around. We'll get that result. So here I am now into the home page. And there's some good information here. There's some little quick tours for learning, and then also some segments and business measures. Segments, we won't get into demoing that today, but think of them kind of like marketing lists or cohorts where you're identified based on some sort of criteria that you establish a list of customers that have some specific information or characteristic or demographic that you want to work with. Maybe you're going to market to them, and so maybe you'll pass them into a customer journey in Dynamics, or maybe they're ones that you're concerned about churn, that sort of thing. And then I mentioned the measures and the enrichments, where we might say, what brands are they are they interested in most? And then as they navigate down, if I click on customers, this will be to show that customer card. I get a little tile, and then I could drill into one of my customers, and I see broader based information, and I can see her, some of her affinities, her brand, some key measures. Segments. So this is where I'll see those lists of customers. So like perhaps customers with open cases, pretty straightforward. I can navigate through the list. I can then use that list, download it into some other application. And then measures, we might build those for specific calculations. And then we can use that to perhaps create new segments. We might use that for some additional reporting. We might use that to trigger some other interaction with the customer. And then intelligence, we won't get into this today, but if you work with, say, AI Builder in Power Platform, we have some custom models available, plus you can build out your own. So lastly, let's just look under the data section here, and then I'll pass it back to John for ingestion. So this demo environment has some sample bits of data that have been brought in. You can see like point of sale came from Dynamics. We have some subscription information, website, maybe how they're visiting your website, or perhaps they've put on put a review on your website. And then a really key element is entities. So entities, you can kind of think of like tables. And when we go through all of our data ingestion, what we're going to be doing is creating the really important one, which is the customer entity. And this is what will host that aggregate of data from all of these different sources. And you might have many data sources, and then inside those, one data set or many data sets. And then what we'll go through here this morning is the unify step. So I'm gonna, the data ingestion and then the unify process. So I'm gonna pass it back to John, and he'll take us into the next bit.
Thanks, Ted. That was a great overview, and I'm going to now get us going here again. Let's move forward. So you just saw how you create a trial environment in Customer Insights. The next step, obviously, after getting that trial, as Ted mentioned, is getting that data in. So really the primary purpose of Customer Insights is when you have data sources or many data sources within your organization, it's meant to help you bring that data into one place and then create that single unified view of the customer, as Ted talked about. I've seen, you know, tens, 20s number of data sources that people are bringing data in from. I don't know, Ted, have you seen, what's some of the bigger ones that you've seen?
Oh, sometimes there've been millions of rows of data. Sometimes they are from legacy systems, even flat file spreadsheets that people have just accumulated of data.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and that's a great, great thing. And, you know, as we said, it's about creating that customer profile through the data ingestion, and then going through the next step after that, unification, as Ted mentioned in his demo there as well. And how do we get that in? Well, we get that data in a couple of different ways. We can import data directly. So that uses Power Query or the Power Platform engine, the Power Platform data flows, using Power Query to import data from any number of sources. And we'll take a quick look at that as we're going through the demo here in just a minute. You can also ingest data directly from the Dataverse. So if you have a Dataverse that you have Dynamics data in, or just data in general, you can directly ingest from that. You can also connect to things like Azure Data Lake storage, if you have data in a common data model format as well. And all of those are great ways to bring data into Customer Insights from your different data sources. So let's jump right into the demo. I'm going to switch over here to the prompt here. So I'm in the environment that Tad was trying to create there for you. So it looks like it was created, just didn't want to let him log in. But we're going to go ahead and ingest some data sources. So the first thing I want to do is I need to go out to my link. Let me go back here. Where is it? I thought I had it open, but I don't. Let me grab it here. Need the link for the actual content because I closed the window. So do we have any questions in there, Tad, while I'm pulling this up?
Not at the moment, but probably one of the more common ones is about in the process of data ingestion. Is it am I using a tool built into Customer Insights, or is it something maybe I've used in other environments?
Sure. Yeah. So I mentioned Power Query. Power Query is actually a tool that you probably use in other environments. And we'll walk through that here in just a moment. But that would be where you've probably seen it before inside Power BI right. Or in Power Apps if you're using the Power Platform data flows and things like that. So it would be familiar to you, yes, in most cases. Yep. Okay, so I'm in the exercise now, and I'm going to walk through this exercise. We are not going to ingest everything. Let me just go ahead and bring this over so I can walk you through this quickly here where we're at. So this is the exercise in the Learn Lab that you're going to follow along with or do later on. We've kind of gone through the familiarize yourself. That's what Tad walked you through in the overview. We're going to do exercise two now, which is ingesting data, but we're not going to ingest all the data sources. You don't want to see me ingest five different data sources doing the exact same thing over and over. So I'm only going to ingest the first one. This customer contacts is the one that I'm going to use. And the rest of them we'll skip. And then we have an environment that has all those in that we'll use for unification. So I'm not going to make you watch us go through all of those things. All right. So we're going to start by ingesting data. So we're going to go to data sources. The first thing we have to do is create a new data source. And you can see here's the options that I talked about. You can import data directly using a connector. That would be a Power BI or a Power Platform Data Flow connector, depending on how your system is configured. In a trial today, it would default to the Power Platform Data Flows. You can also go directly against the Common Data Model folder inside Azure Data Lake Storage, which I think brings us to a question that we have here. Does Customer Insights support data lakes? It says Delta Lake. I think you mean Data Lake, but if
probably.
Not, I'm not aware of what Delta Lake is, if not. But yes, it does support data lakes. Now, unfortunately, in a trial, I can connect to and get data out of a data lake. But I don't really have access to have Customer Insights write its information into my own data lake. It's going to go into a Microsoft managed data lake, which I don't have a direct access to inside of a trial. I can connect to Dataverse, as I mentioned. And then the last one, since I'm in a trial, I can also import from Data Hub. And this is a new feature that allows you in a trial to get those data sets that Tad was showing you that are part of the demo environment that you get. So up here in my environments list, you see I still have this retail demo. So that has all the retail data in it. Well, if I want to be able to do more with that and create a more full-featured demo, I can use the Data Hub and select the retail demo, and it will ingest all that data into this environment for me, and I'll have full access so I can actually create measures and segments and do things like that that I can't do in that demo environment. I'm going to choose Import Data to get us started. I'm going to name it e-commerce. Click Next. And this is now going to take me to the page that allows us to pick what type of connection we are making. So what is our data? And in this case, the data that we're pulling in, it's just a CSV file that lives out in an Azure storage container in blob storage. So we're just going to use the CSV connector. And give it just a second here. Maybe it's, there we go. All right. So you can see here, we do have connectors for a lot of different things. We have Excel workbooks. We've got Access databases, Amazon, Teradata, SQL Server, Salesforce, you name it. We've got Fire and Spark and some generic ones like Web API, blank tables, ODBC. So if you have data that sits maybe in a system that is not listed here, but you can get the data out of it in a CSV file or JSON file or something, or create a web API in front of that data, then we can still get at that data to bring it into Customer Insights. So really just about everything out there we can bring in some way. We're going to choose text CSV. And I have to just give it my path. So I had copied that over from the document. And I'm going to click Next. One other thing I'll mention while I'm on this page is on-premise data gateways. Now that we have enabled support for the Power Platform data flows, you now get access to on-premise data gateway, which means you have access to get data from on-premises instead of having to have it in a cloud offering. I don't know about you, Tad, but I tend to get that question quite often.
Yes. Yep. It's great for if you have legacy databases, maybe a SQL Server or maybe an older ERP system. Yep. So there's one question about if you build your own query, are you able to or where are you able to access that?
If you build your own query, as in,
So once you're into Power Query and you want to work with that query, where might you do that?
Sure. Yeah. And I can show you that in just a minute when this comes up here, hopefully. Otherwise, we can switch over to a working one and I can show you that part of it. I'm gonna let this spin and I'm gonna switch over here into a different environment that I have open that already has a bunch of data in it. And I'll just go into edit mode, which is where we would be in the next step in our other one. So we'll give this a second to come up. You would be in this window here, which is the Power Query edit window. Once you get past that step that I was on and the data is in here. So you can see here, I have this contacts. This was the one that I was ingesting. And one of the things that I can do is sometimes it's nice to switch over to the schema view because then I don't have to wait for all the data to load. But there's a number of things you can do in this Power Query window if you have things that you want to do, make transformations, as we say. So I can rename fields. I can change their types to different types. So here, if I have, say, a currency, like in my purchases table, I might have a currency field, and I want that to be, like in this case, I have a total price field. So I could change total price to be a currency. And that way it'll be manipulated and acted upon as if it's a currency. Same thing for date and time and other stuff. I can also do things like removing fields. I can duplicate a field. I can do all that sort of stuff. And then you were asking about the editor. So in the advanced editor, I'm able to come in here and see exactly all the steps that I've done. So I can see the source, where I'm pulling it from. I can see that I promoted headers, that I changed some column types, and so on and so forth. I could copy this and edit this directly. I can also use this to save it off into, say, source control or something to have a record of all the different things that I've done to ingest data. So a number of things that can be done here. Once I'm done here, the final step is just giving it a name to be referenced inside the data set and hitting save. I won't do that since I'm in here. But that is the steps for ingesting data into Customer Insights. I'm going to jump back over now into the slides and let's keep moving. We're going to go ahead and move forward here. And we have a knowledge check. So our first knowledge check. All right, let's see how closely you've been paying attention to the things that we've been talking about. In the chat, you can go ahead and give us your answers here. So you just completed the process of ingesting data, which we just saw, from three different data sources into Customer Insights. And you're going to have to think back of little ways, I think, to get the answer to this one. But if you want to view the data that was ingested, where would you actually go and look inside Customer Insights? And I know that Tad talked about this in his overview, but I don't know, Tad. I mean, entities to me sounds pretty close to maybe a possible answer. Relationships, to me is more about how do the different tables relate to each other, more about the data.
Right.
Customers could be an answer if I'm bringing in customers. What about segments and Unify?
Now they have some data, but it's not all of the data. And Unify is more like the process, mm-hmm. but segments would have some data. I think it's entity.
Okay, well, let's go ahead and take a look. If you said entity, you are correct. So in Customer Insights, under the data tab, there is an entities section, and inside the entity section is where you will find all the entities or tables. We need to update this. We now refer to them as tables, but all the tables that have been created by Customer Insights, and that's where you can see the data that was brought in. Another one, we have a second one. All right, we got two for here. If you are walking through the process of ingesting different data sources and you want to ensure that the data captured in a field called total cost is one of your sources is going to be available to be used appropriately in items like a measure. So how would you set that data type? What would you set it to in this case for a total cost? I don't know, Ted, you got any ideas on this one?
You know, I'm pretty sure it's not date and time. Percentage, I guess, if we were calculating cost, usually cost I would define around money. So I'm betting on currency.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. Percentage would work, but I think currency is probably the more correct answer. Sure enough, if you said currency, you would be correct. All right, well, let's move forward. The next step is really unification of this data that we brought in. So while in the demo, I only showed you bringing in one data source, in the actual walkthrough, you'll bring in five or six. So that gives you more data to work with, but that also means that you have to go through this process now of how do we take multiple tables that have customer information in them and bring them into one single view of the customer. And that's going through this unification process. And unification consists of three steps: mapping, which is where you define what entities or tables that you've brought in are the ones that have customer profile information in them and should be used to create that unified profile. Then you go through matching, and that is now taking those tables that you've set up in mapping and figuring out how do we match records between them to determine if they are the same person or not. So defining rules and things for those matches to occur. And then finally, you go into merge. And that's really where we kind of take all that information that we've done now. We look at how you rank different attributes or fields within a table, or tables within the data sets, and determine which fields are pulled from which tables to make that final view of the customer for you. So we're going to walk through each of these now in a little bit more detail. And I'm going to turn it over to Tad to talk about mapping.
Okay,
and then great. We'll continue.
Okay. So with mapping, this is where we will decide how our data relates in a way. So we need to have an understanding of the data. We need to know what key, perhaps identifiers we have. It might be an ID field. It might be email address, or perhaps say some other data such as a phone number. And we want to be able to match these entities so that we can bring data from specific data sets and merge them all together to create that customer profile. So you'll probably identify a specific data source as the master one, and then you can decide you might have one, two, three more after that to make your selections. We'll also decide what attributes or fields we want to include as we go through our process. We'll go to the next slide, John. Thanks. So not all of the data that we're bringing in will end up in that customer profile. So some of it will be the related information, like their activities, like purchasing and support cases they create. Or maybe you're tracking membership information and loyalty programs. While that's all really important data, it's not necessarily what is defining the profile of the customer. So we will use that, but in order to create that customer profile, it'll be typically more specific information around demographic information, addresses and phone numbers and so forth. Want to go ahead one, and then I think we're going to jump into demoing here.
Yep.
All right, so I'll take my screen on here. And so here I am in the one that we already had some data loaded. And so as I go down on the left side of the screen, we saw the entities, that's all the tables. And now we move into our unification process. As John had on the earlier slide, map, match, and merge. One thing I like about them is they're alphabetical, so I can remember which goes first. So you can see now here we have several entities that we've included, and we have customer and contacts. And in this example, what I'll do is I'll select an entity, and then I can see all the specific attributes or columns or fields that make up that table. So that's the data that we ingested that John did in the earlier bit. And because we have this intelligent matching, it actually does a really pretty good job with how to match up fields. And you can look at it, you can validate, you can say, okay, no, actually different field is city, but you will find that that's usually pretty accurate. And then what you might have to set is whatever is the primary key. And in this case, it's contact ID. Now, sometimes it's not necessarily that perfect. Your data may not have that concept, or perhaps you create a new alternate key that becomes that ID. And you could scroll through the rest and you could see all of the other ones, and they all look pretty well matched up. And then I could look at customer, for instance, and this one is on the loyalty ID. And so here's where we are tracking data from the POS, point of sale system. And so this is where we're going to be ultimately getting more activity information, like their purchases, for instance, or maybe their web reviews, or maybe when they enter a store. That might all be pertinent data. And here's more profile type information. Now, this isn't their purchases yet. That will come later, but it has additional information like date of birth, their email address, and so forth. Because sometimes you might have fairly good data in what you've determined to be your primary data set, but then another database or table may have better other attributes that weren't included in that one. Like, for instance, gender. If I go back to contacts, I do have it here, but perhaps I didn't. So that's where we will then decide, okay, we're going to say this is the master, this is the second one. If the data exists in the master, that's what we'll use. If it doesn't exist in the secondary table, if it doesn't exist in the primary table, then pull it from the secondary and so on. So you're really getting the best of all of your data loaded together. So I think that kind of goes over a little bit to how that mapping process will work, John. So I'll pass it back to you to talk about the match.
Sure. And before we dive into that, there actually is a question here that I thought would be worth diving into. So okay. Raul's asking, where is the database is save the ingested data? So I think what he's getting at is where do we save that data that we're ingesting into Customer Insights? And let me probably be easier. Let me go ahead and I'll share my screen again and talk through that for just a moment. So when you ingest data into Customer Insights, as we saw, there's a couple of different ways to do it. So I'll talk through this quickly. If you use the import data option, then all the data that you're pointing at and ingesting is actually being copied into an Azure data lake. And it's going to go into one of two places, either in an Azure data lake that Microsoft hosts in our own data center and in our own subscription. In that case, there's no cost for that storage to you. Or in a production environment, you have the option of coming up and configuring your setup and doing what is called the bring your own data lake. So in here, you can save to your own Azure data lake and give it the credentials for that data lake. In that case, everything that Customer Insights creates would be put into that data lake. So when you choose import data, it will store that data in your own data lake. So a copy of the table that you're ingesting from OneDrive or the CSV you're ingesting from Blob Storage would be made into that data lake. Now, if you choose either of these other two options, connect to Common Data Model Folder or the Common Data Service, then we do not actually copy that data anyplace. We read that data directly where it's at and use it in memory from there, and we don't make a copy of the data. And that is why if you use either of these two options, you don't have any chance to do transformations like we saw in Power Query. So you don't get a Power Query option to remove fields or combine fields or create new fields or change the types or anything like that. All that is inferred and the data just lives out where it came from. So that's where that data is going. Now let me jump back over to our slides and continue moving from here. So we do have another knowledge check for you. So please go ahead and jump in there with your answers. So when mapping your data sources, are you able to include fields that do not map to a common data model type? So if we jump back over quickly, we saw when Ted was walking through the map that there are some types here that you can map to. So if you were mapping to, say, here, into the e-commerce contacts, you have all these types, which are part of the common data model types. And any of those types can be picked. Now, if you don't have, as in this case down here, it's blank. So if it's blank, does it come through into your as part of your data source? And I think we just saw it, Ted. What do you think? Is it yes?
I think it's yes. Yeah, I think so.
I think it does. So let's go ahead and move forward. And the answer is, of course, yes. So yes, any of those types are any of the data that you bring through, even if it doesn't match up with one of those common data model types, it can still come in. So you can leave it blank. You can choose a type that you think matches. There are some restrictions there. You don't want to have multiple things marked as your index, obviously. You can't do that. But you can have other fields in there. And if you have certain fields, key field types for the system itself, for Customer Insights to use. So you got to be careful if you have multiple full name fields, for instance, because they would cause some issues later on down the road. And we'll also see that come into play when we talk about merge, because that's how we determine which fields should be merged together, is based on the types that you've chosen. So let's move into matching of data. So the matching phase is where we're going to combine the data sets into that unified customer profile. So here we've picked which data sets we're going to use or tables that we're going to use. We've defined the fields. What are the key fields for each of those tables, the fields that we're going to bring in. And now we need to figure out how's the system going to determine if a row in table A matches a row in table B. And that is part of matching. So after we've completed this phase, we'll then be ready to go ahead and match all of our entities and move forward into the unification or into the merge phase, where we'll use the output from this. So when you go through match the first time, what you're going to do is complete a couple of these steps that are required. You're going to specify the order that your entities will be matched. And you're also going to define the rules for the first matched pair. So you're going to define the rules on how they match, and there can be multiple rules. And then you're going to run through those rules and create the matches and have the system determine all that for you. All right, so let's jump over into the demo. I think, let me see if this is ready to go. We'll see if this finished. Did mapping finish here, Ted? Hopefully. No. All right. Let's just do this. Mapping is pretty quick. So we'll just do e-commerce contacts, and we got loyalty customers, and I'm going to match this. And as Tad showed you, it's really just a couple of things that we need to do here. Contact ID, loyalty ID. We can save that. And that's it for mapping. So now let's go over to match. And in match, what we're going to do is we only have the two data sets. So we have to first, as I said, set the order. And we're going to set the order here by selecting first e-commerce, because I know that that is the data set that has the most data in it and the most accurate data in it, as we talked about earlier. And then I have this include all records. Ted, do you know, what does this include all records do for me?
So you could decide whether you're going to not bring in every single row of data. So there may be times where you want only a complete record rather than maybe all of the extra ones that maybe for some reason don't have a match. Then you would say, well, bring it in anyway, rather than saying just focus on the one set.
Got it. Okay, so by checking include all records here, I'm going to get all the rows in e-commerce no matter what. And then in loyalty, I'm going to match that against those. But if I include all records, that means even the ones that don't match will pull through as a new record.
Right.
Got it. Okay. Yep. All right. And then the next step is adding a rule. So we're going to do two simple rules here. We're going to do a rule by name. So we pick the two fields in each of our tables that are the same, in this case, name. We can normalize. Now, that just gives us the ability to say things like remove white space, ignore symbols, convert all the text to lowercase so that our matches are better if that's it. In this case, it's a name field, so I'm going to use that it's a type so that it knows what it's supposed to be. And then we have to set the precision. What are we willing to use as a precision to determine if it's a match or not? So I can do custom, which gives me a scale of 0 to 100, or I can use basic, which is what I'll use, and I'll just set it to high. And we have to name our rules, so I'll just call it full name. And then I'm going to include another condition for email. So here I can add a condition. And these are all and conditions, so they will be an and. So the full name will have to match at a high level, and the email will have to match in this case in order for the records to be considered a match. I'm also going to leave this as basic and say hi. Actually, I'll leave that as an exact because emails should be the same. And I'm going to say done. And now I'm done with my match. So the only other thing I'll point out here before I turn it back over to Tad for the next section is we can also deduplicate records within a single table. So here I could set an entity and I could tell it how I want to deduplicate the records within a single table itself. And then that would be used up here in the matching. So I'm going to click save. And then the next step for me to go through is to click run so that we're ready to go for Tad when he gets to his demo. I'm going to switch back to slides here. And we have a knowledge check before I give it over to Tad. Question 4 of our knowledge check. When defining a matching rule, what is used to help improve match results by controlling items such as removing punctuation or ignoring white space? So we just went through this. Tad, what do you think?
Well, I think precision is more around decimals.
Yeah.
Measures, that's where we're creating new calculations. So I'm going with either normalization or relationships.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. We talked about precision. That's really more about the percentage, the precision that we want to reach before we consider something a match. Relationships. Yeah, we haven't talked about those a whole lot. They're really kind of more the underlying piece, I think, that we kind of are familiar with in the database realm of relating tables together. I think you're right, though. I think normalization is probably the right answer. We talked about how we can ignore white space and we can ignore symbols and that sort of thing. Right. And that was the normalization dropdown. So, yep, if you pick normalization, you are correct. So let's go ahead and just quickly talk a little bit about optimizing the match rules, because these are something that you're probably not going to just set once and then leave. you're going to set them, you're going to play with them, rerun your match, see what the numbers are that you get back, and so on, and then tweak those match rules a little bit. So there are some things that you are provided in the UI, ways to preview what that match is going to look like, and then reviewing the output at the end of it. So here we can see what some of this looks like if we want to try experimenting with our threshold, so the precision of our match. We can see here that this particular match is being done on full name, and we can see that we had 355 unmatched records and 4,600 and some odd records that matched. But more importantly, we can look down here at the bottom in the UI, and we can see why they matched or why they didn't match. So we can pick different views. Here we can see that these match because the first name and last name were simply reversed in the full name field. So we considered that a match. It may be that Joseph was spelt, you know, with an F instead of a PH or something, and it was close enough to be a match, those sorts of things. So we can use this information to help us tweak our thresholds and continue to get a better match result. We can also then see the match results when we're done. So when we're done, you get some output at the top of that screen that we were on after you've run the match, where you can see the total number of unique customers. And we should probably show you this in a minute here, maybe when Tad gets to the demo for Merge, he can start on this screen and show you, because it's slightly different. We actually show you three numbers at the top now to make it a little more clear of the data that you're looking at. But you'll get the match records, the unique customers that you've got, the total records, a few different counts that you can look at. And using that, you can see, you know, the discrepancy between your unique customers and the matched records and the total count, and use that information to help tweak your match as well. So let me turn it back over to Tad to talk a little bit about merging data.
All right. So then of our third step of our map match and merge is the merge data. And so the you can see there, the purpose of this is to do that reconciliation of conflicting data. So that could be that if you had customer information in two different data sets, and it might be a little different in one versus the other. So for instance, maybe how the names are spelled. So like this example here, Grant Marshall versus only maybe Grant, or perhaps the formatting of data. That is something that we didn't necessarily point out in the data ingestion, is that you might do some of that work in Power Query of cleaning up or formatting the data. You might even change the data type there in Power Query, and that can do some of the cleanup that can help with the merge process. Go ahead to the next slide, John. All right, so let's demo. Let me, I'll take back over here, and we'll just show our third step here. Okay, so we've had our in our data sources, you can see all the sources that we've done. We're back in the Unify tab. We've gone through the map where we selected our entities and our attributes. And then we've done our match where we had, like, for instance, our point of sale customers and Dynamics contacts, for instance. And now finally into the merge. And in the merge, where we will see, for instance, we have the different data sources with the same bits of data, and so we can determine, like, for instance, their name or like their full name, and decide which one is the primary, which one is from one of the other data sets. Let me jump into the right environment there. This is actually kind of an easy mistake to make. You can see that which is what I was doing there. I was wondering why I had all this data. So you can toggle, in theory, from one to another. So let me try that again. Go back into the Unify and go to the merge. And there we go. So now we've got our e-commerce and our loyalty customers. And then by drilling into these, you can make some initial selections. Maybe you're going to rename it or exclude it. You can set the rankings. So here we've determined that the e-commerce first name is a higher rank than the second and so on, and change the names and so forth. So pretty straightforward. If there's any conflicts, if there's data that might only be in one set and not the other, for instance, reward points, that's only in the loyalty customers table, not in the other ones. And if I make any changes, then I would go ahead and save. Otherwise, I could just go ahead and run just the merge, or run the merge and then the downstream processes, which get into some of the additional things that we might start to do, where we start setting up enrichment and activities and so forth. So I could forget what it is in the lab. I'll just go ahead and run the merge. So that will start that process, and I'll pass it back to John to close us out.
Great. Let me share my screen again. And we will have a few minutes here at the end for some questions. So if you do have questions, definitely throw them in the chat there, and moderators will get those to us.
So I do see one there, John, about the ingesting of data. I think we didn't quite see that step. When we bring the data in, is there a refresh schedule? Is there how do we decide how that happens?
Yeah, good question. So yes, there is a refresh schedule when you are setting up your data sources. Let me try and pick one that hopefully isn't too big here, so that it goes quickly. But yes, at the end of doing the Power Query transformation steps, when you click save, and I'm going to cross my fingers because I didn't test this one before, but it should take me to a screen that asks me about editing my refresh schedule. And if it doesn't, then I'll wonder why, because it should be here.
It is a new feature, right?
It is, yeah. So it is a feature of our the Power Platform Data Flow connectors, which we, and you know what, I can do it in a different way I didn't even think about. But in here, you can actually go in and you can edit the refresh schedule for each data source independently. So it's defaults to manually. You can also set it to automatically, and you can set it in any interval. You can also set it to run on certain days at certain times. So there is definitely options for that. We used to do it on a system-wide setting, but now it is at the data source level with the Power Platform data flows.
All right.
Let's jump into question 5 of our knowledge check. During which phase of unification can you define any items that you do not want to have included in the customer profile, the unified profile? We didn't really talk about this. It's one of the things that we tend to step over a lot because it's easy to forget. But there is a step, and there's actually two steps here. So I think we're going to give you one answer, but I think there's really two potential answers here, and I'll tell you why. So if you remember the unification process, as Tad said, it's map, match, and merge, which tells me I think we could probably eliminate maintain. Right. What do you think, Tad?
Yeah, I think so. We threw that in to trick you.
Yep. And we saw in match that you're really just setting up rules. So I didn't see anything there where you can determine which fields are part of your unified profile. But we did look at in map and merge. In map, you can select not just the tables that are going to be included in the process, but also the individual fields. So you could do it in map. But if you want those fields to be used for doing the matching, but then not included in the unified profile, you could also do those in merge. And that is why you're going to see that we list merge as the right answer. Because in merge, there is a ability in there in the UI to say don't include this file or this field in the merged unified profile. All right, so we have made it to the end of the exercise in today's session. You have completed, if you've been following along, you've completed the data ingestion steps. Hopefully you've just been following along in the document, because it'd probably be, you'd be way behind if you're trying to keep up with the document and what we were doing. But you can always reference this video later, as all these videos will be made available online, to go back, follow through the document, watch what we did, and then complete those steps for all the different things that we didn't do in the session, like ingesting all the data sets and so on. So there's a much more to it, and the learning path has much more to it, because there's things like activities and relationships and enrichment and other things like that Tad talked about, like segments and customer cards and so on. So there's a lot more to the learning path that you can go on and complete after you've done this first part and learn more about customer insights, how to set it up, how to use it, and get anything out of it. So Tad, I had a great time. I'm not sure about you.
Yeah, no, this is fun. I always love talking about this. It's such a great product. I'm really passionate about it, so it's fun to help spread the love.
It is, yeah. And Tad and I, we didn't really go into a deep background, but as Tad mentioned, I've been doing customer insights since just after it released about 2 years ago now. And Tad's been brought in more recently to help out with it. And he works on the team that does a lot of the delivery of the content, the training to folks. And I work with our partners implementing and maintaining the content still, and with engineering. So we do have a few more. Let's see what we've got. Let's finish up the slides and see what we have for questions. So, summary. So what did we learn today? Well, we learned how to create a customer insights instance. We learned how to ingest data into that instance and then go through unification. As part of that, we learned about making match rules and the conditions that are used for matching and how to optimize those sets, those match sets that we put together, and then how to use merge to create that final unified profile. So a lot of great stuff that we learned there. We've been going through this particular Learn path here on Microsoft Learn. You can get to it from the link here on the screen and go through that on your own and hopefully complete through that and get deeper into your customer insights experience. We hope you enjoyed this Learn Live session, of course, and this isn't just the end of it. There are many, many sessions available, and it is a weekly show that you can attend. I do have some info that I can provide you on that. So we got 2,000 different topics on Microsoft Learn, and those are all covered in some way, shape, or form, or will be as days and weeks come on, move forward. And so you can see those anytime. They are live every Monday on Learn TV. And the link is right here on the screen for you. So go ahead and mark your calendars. Come join us for next week, Monday's session, or catch up on any of the old sessions that you missed up there on the site as well.
All right. Sounds great.
Great. Well, let's see what we have for questions, Tad. Do you want to read them off?
All right. I've lost my screen for that.
All right. I'll read this first one off, and maybe you can give us the answer. So, can data metrics results in customer insights be used in business logic, such as, you know, as triggers within other sources like Power Automate or Power BI, is a question that Kenneth has asked.
Okay. So we have a Power Automate connector for customer insights. There's also, depending on where you might be exporting your data, so you might be exporting data into Dynamics or some other database, and then that information can be used to trigger from those databases as well. So you might have some more complex logic that you're working with.
Yep, great. Yes, we do definitely have connectors inside Power Automate that you can use, and use those for many things, like Tad mentioned. All right, we have another question here. Let's see. Answered. There we go. Let's see, do we have another one? I think there might be a couple more out here.
I think we got time for one more.
Yeah, I think probably one more if we have any. Just watching to see if any of our moderators dropped them in the chat for us. It looks like we are probably close to finishing up, and I don't see any questions coming back in. So I guess let's go ahead and wrap it up. I'd like to say thank you for joining us on this Learn Live session at the Microsoft Business Application Summit. hopefully you've learned a little bit about customer insights and are interested in learning more. Tad, it's been fun. Do you have any closing thoughts?
I hope you enjoy the rest of MBAS and keep digging into the Learn Live and finish up the exercises that we started out today.
Great. All right. And I think we've got one more that just came in. It disappeared. All right. Well, thanks for joining us, everybody.
Thank you.